Pause. I had to make an announcement. I was waiting for a bell. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you out. That was really mean. Sorry. all right. So sometimes things don't work well, especially when it comes to technology. I'm very sorry, but you guys are going to have to go back to the old way for Sunday, this Sunday only, we hope. So we couldn't get ProPresenter to open. I know, you're going to have to use your hymnals. It's the worst. Please open to hymn number 257. 257. And using that hymn, we will sing verses 3 and 4 as we light the candles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may live in your love and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us.
And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of God, of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our gathering hymn is number 246. 246, give them a moment, Adam, they're not used to this. Hymn 246.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Please turn to page 203, not the hymns, but up front. 203 and 204 for our Kyrie and Canticle.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give to all people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings. Our first reading comes from the book of Malachi, the third chapter. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify the silver. and he will purify the defendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and in former years. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So our psalm today, one, it will not be responsive because, you know, no words. Two, it is not a normal psalm, so to speak. It is the Benedictus of Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's father. And he sings this song or psalm after John the Baptist is born. So that is what we will hear for our psalm today.
It says I'm reading from Luke. Are you sure about all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I'm looking at the other pattern. Did I get it right?
No.
I didn't get it right? Oh, no. Oh, he's teasing? Okay. Woo!
Okay, so you're about to hear a reading from Luke, the first chapter. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. Our second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Philippians. And you even got my mouth messed up. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation to the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with compassion of Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into the region around the Jordan, proclaiming baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough way made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. All right. I need to do a little bit of cleanup work on my explanation of Luke 1. Yes, those were the words that Kevin read. Those were the words of Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's father. There is also an Old Testament book of Zechariah. Not the same dude. Okay. So, as we just heard, in the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, who was the most powerful, most important man in charge of the most powerful, important empire on the planet, when Pontius Pilate, when he was the governor of Judea, you know, he was the guy that was so important that he got to decide whether God lived or died. You remember that guy? And when Herod Antipas, son of King Herod the Great, when he was ruling in Galilee, and his brother Philip was ruling in Iturea and Trachonitis, which were the regions east of Galilee. And Licinius was a Roman tetrarch ruling in Abilene, in the regions north of Galilee. And then when Annas, at the same time, even though he was deposed from the high priesthood because he was so powerful and influential, he was deposed by the Romans. He was still recognized as the one who unofficially had that highest authority in the Jewish temple. And then when Caiaphas, his son-in-law, who kind of took the name of puppet high priest, when he was in power, when all of these really important people, when they were in charge, when they were ruling the Roman Empire, when they were ruling the entirety of the Middle East, when they were sitting on their high thrones, way up here of power, when they were using their armies to maintain a so-called peace, the Pax Romana, they called it. When the highest of the high priests were busy ruling their temple, where the presence of the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where that presence of God was supposed to come and rest, that's when the word of God came to John. To John. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Not to governmental rulers, the authorities that command vast armies from their high seats of power in very important places. No, to John, the son of a very ordinary priest, Zechariah. Not to that highest of high priests or one of this priest's puppets, no. To John, a man who grew and became strong in spirit and went to live in the wilderness. The word of God came to John. A nobody. A nobody born of a nobody living in the middle of nowhere. Exactly. Middle of nowhere. Well, I think we got that covered here in Galleon, don't we? Middle of nowhere. We're not exactly a booming metropolis here in Galleon or Crawford County, are we? And since we're talking about middle of nowhere, what about nobodies? Looking around. Any presidents here today? I'm not preaching to any. Why am I even bothering if I'm not preaching to any presidents? Fine. How about prime ministers? Anybody here even know what that is? Or do we just follow American politics? Any dictators here today? I was going to say, spouses, please don't answer. Especially mine. Can anyone here, if you can, let me know. Because I might have use for a few. Can anyone here control the movement of armies? No? Okay. I'll settle for a senator. A congressperson? No members of Congress here today. I got one. A governor. Why are none of you a school board member? He's over there. He's like, I'm not raising my hand. Look at all of you really just utterly unimportant people. I mean, some would call you losers. I mean, I wouldn't. I wouldn't ever call you losers, but some might. Just a bunch of really unimportant people. Okay, let's pick on the clergy for a bit. Any popes in the house? Were you ever pope? Archbishops? Oh, he can't hear me. Bishops? Any bishops in the house today? No? All right, how about pastors? One, two. Okay. But am I really the high priest kind of pastor? I don't think so. Like, I'm lucky if I remember the words of institution on most Sundays. And on top of that, I would say we're not exactly what you would call a mega church. I mean, I don't even think we have a large church for Crawford County, do we? No high priests here, from what I can tell. So I guess that makes all of us, me included, just a bunch of nobodies living in the middle of nowhere. Kind of like John, the one to whom the word of God came instead of all those really important, powerful people in really important places. Now, I'm not saying the word of God doesn't show up in important places to important people at Capitol Hill or the White House, like anyone there would listen. I'm not saying that the word of God doesn't show up in megachurches or to popes or to archbishops or to bishops. Probably does. Or to any of these other allegedly really important people that we spend way too much time in our lives worrying about. The word of God certainly shows up there. What I'm saying is that our God sometimes, a lot of times really, likes to reject the ways we think that this world should operate and will sometimes, or a lot of times, reject the ways of the influential, the ways of the powerful, and sometimes speak to unexpected people in unexpected places, just like this one. Our God speaks to nobodies that have come from no one and nothing to the middle of nowhere. And that's kind of amazing when you think that our God, the creator of the entire universe, of all that is and was and is to come, speaks to you and to me, a bunch of nobodies. I didn't say it. John did. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I said it. So this message, the one that John speaks to us today, it's a pretty simple one. The message that we hear from God today, it's not hard. And it's proclaimed from the mouth of not one prophet, but two prophets. First, the prophet Isaiah, right? And then it's been repeated by John. And that word is simple. It's prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Right, that's simple. We know exactly how to do that, right? Anybody have any ideas how to do that? Oh, how about we make a very simple 3-point sermon and we can all learn how to do that. You ready? Make his path straight, fill every valley, make every mountain low, and hill every mountain and hill low, make the crooked straight and the rough ways, that's 5 points, not three. Apparently, Isaiah and John weren't used to the three-point Lutheran sermon, nor am I. But really, this is just one grand metaphor, a one-point sermon. He's saying, make it easy to travel from point A to point B. So in Isaiah's case, point A is Babylon. That is where the kingdom of Judah is exiled. They're exiled in Babylon, and they want to get back where? To point B. Over here, back to the kingdom of Judah, where it once was in Jerusalem. So, how do you make that way simple and easy? You lay the mountains low, you fill up the valleys, you make the crooked road straight, and you make the rough road smooth. No curves, no valleys, no hills, just a straight, flat, easy road on which God's glory, God and God's glory will lead Judah back to Jerusalem from point A, Babylon, to point B, Jerusalem. And in John's case, he expands this metaphor to make us consider the kingdom of God. When he says, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He says, prepare the way for all people, a way that takes us from the brokenness of the here and now, point A, to what is to come, point B, God's kingdom. So let me be very clear about something when it comes to bringing God's kingdom to earth. One, and point one only, we can't do it. You or I, me, none of us, we cannot bring God's kingdom to this earth. We will fail if we try. It is not our call, it is not our responsibility, and it is not possible. That is God's job. Amen. That is God's job. And there's an and. There's always an and. And we can work to clear a path that makes the distance between what is now, which is a world that is very lost and broken, violent, sinful, and what will be God's fully present kingdom over here, point B. We can make this way as smooth and short and wide as possible. We can do this by throwing down mountains, filling in valleys, making wide, flat roads. This is excavation work. Some people might know it as if they work in building roads. This work of preparation is not easy. Anyone travel on old 30 or new 30 that they were redoing here for the last 15 months, it seems like? The road was already there and it still took them 6 months to repave it. This work takes time and it's hard to do. And if you're like, who said anything about work? We're Lutheran. Here's the thing. If God is speaking to us, then we have work to do. We have work to do. So let's take this from metaphorical, excavating roads, right, to real life. So John was out there in the wilderness doing what? He was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. He is calling us to make a wide, flat road that starts with the leveling of sin. Hills of sin, valleys of sin, eliminating the twists and turns of that road of sin. And no, sorry, if you're like, wow, I can think of a lot of other people's sin. We're talking about your sin and my sin, our own individual sin, not the sins of our neighbors. Get our own house in order first. Repenting of our own sins. And remember, if we say we have no sin, my old Lutherans, we deceive ourselves, right? Repent, John tells us, for the kingdom of God is near. Okay, repent. This is a big concept. What does this look like? How about we start at the very beginning? It's a very good place to start. Anyway, sorry, that's a musical. What does repentance look like? Let's start with commandment one. Who is your God? Who is your God? I mean, not the one that you think you're supposed to answer me when a pastor asks you, but who is your God really? Let me help. To whom do you look for safety and security? That person, those things are your God. To what do you look for safety and security? To whom and to what provides you safety and security? That person, those things are your gods. Okay, I'll leave that one there. We got like 9 more commandments. We're not going to do all of them. But I will say, homework, brunch work, do 2 through 7 and then 9 and 10 because we're going to do 8 right now. Okay? Anyone know commandment 8? Oh, we just did a whole Lenten thing on this. Come on. Don't bear false witness. Don't worry, I have to look them up too. Don't bear false witness, a.k.a. the don't ruin relationships by saying mean stuff to other people commandment. I figured it'd be good for us to cover this one since we kind of all do this all the time. Relationships, you know, those with our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow parishioners, those with congregations with whom we partner. We have one of those, right? Those with whom we used to partner. These relationships can be damaged and have been damaged. They can be destroyed if we're not mindful of God's instruction to not bear false witness. But gossip's really fun. I like gossiping. So listen to Luther's explanation of this commandment. It does not get better, trust me. It starts with, don't tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Okay, that sounds really hard, but it's kind of boilerplate stuff, right? It's not easy, but it's what we'd expect to be told this commandment means. But then he takes it way further than this. He says that we're supposed to instead come to our neighbor's defense. We are supposed to speak well of them. What? And interpret everything they do in the best possible light? Are you kidding me? All of my neighbors? Really? Can I admit that I fail miserably at this one? I am not good at the 8th commandment, or any of them really, but this one's bad. So that last part, how are we supposed to hate on people if we have to interpret their actions in the best possible light? It's kind of hard to do. So try to consider the world from where they stand. Try to consider their lived experiences. Makes it a little harder to do. And that's kind of the point. So a pro tip from someone who really struggles with this one, with calling it doing my best 8th commandment, try praying for that someone that you're struggling with. Try praying for them. And it kind of moves you into that state of being that, oh yeah, God loves that person too. Rats. God loves that person too. So I have to say, if you haven't figured it out by now, repentance is very hard, right? The good news is God does not expect perfection from us. God knows that we will absolutely fall short when it comes to repentance. We've done it over and over and over again in our lives and across generations for millennia, right? And while repentance, it is for God, it is for our neighbors, it's for this world, repentance is also for us. It's for me and you. If we were to repent of that first commandment, our sins against the first commandment. If we were to give up our other gods, for example, whatever they are, wherever we want to turn to for safety and comfort and security, and instead set our face on the one God, our God. Maybe we could hear words like these and believe them. I have been liberated. You have been liberated. We have been liberated and set free from having to look to anyone or anything other than our God for safety and security. Do you believe that? It's a hard one to believe in a world that is dangerous and dark and broken. And yet, that is what we are called to do. And if we were to live to that, we would be freed. We have been liberated and freed from having to look to anyone or anything other than our God for safety and security. Our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Zechariah and John, has freed us from fear, has freed us to then live. To live in a world with hills and mountains and valleys and rough, crooked roads without fear. To live with open ears, knowing that the God of the universe speaks to the here and now, and when God does this, speaks to us, a sinful nobodies in the middle of nowhere. Our God has freed us, has liberated us, has called us to knock down mountains and maybe use some of that rubble to fill in some valleys along the way so that we may bring this sinful and broken world just a little bit closer. Bring point A and point B a little bit closer together so that maybe this place can become a little bit more like God's preferred future, the kingdom of God. We're not going to bring the kingdom of God, but we can maybe make it a little closer. This is the gift of repentance. This is what happens when we do repent. We nobodies in the middle of nowhere. We have heard this good news crying out in the wilderness. We have seen this good news, and we have been freed and called to proclaim it. All flesh, says John, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You and me, all of us, have seen this salvation. We have seen the salvation, and he will come again. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Oh, wait, which hymn number? What hymn we got? 249 in your red hymnals. turn to page 105 in the front of your hymnal.
I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Are there additional prayers this morning? Connie? Nancy?
Sharon.
I'm sorry? Angie and kids. Sharon? As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence.
Refining God, move through your church, wash, refine, and purify our ways, that we may fill the valleys and lay the mountains low. Prepare a way for all people to be welcomed in this and every sanctuary. Kindle a fire for sharing the gospel among bishops, especially Elizabeth and Daniel, pastors, especially Sean, and all the baptized, especially the people of First Lutheran Church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Ruling God, teach the nations your ways. Strengthen organizations and communities that broker peace and care for refugees, immigrants, and all caught in the center of conflict, especially Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Lord, in your mercy.
Reforming God, fill this congregation with your presence. Enrich the seasonal preparations of First Lutheran and bless the efforts of the Worship and Music Committee, the audiovisual team, musician staff, clergy, and lay ministers, and all our leaders as they work in the weeks ahead. Lord, in your mercy.
Rescuing God, restore your people who are in any need. Heal all who are suffering, especially Kevin, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Bill, for Connie, for Nancy, for Angie and her kids, for Sharon, for the family and friends of Tim, and for all who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Provide comfort and strength and nurture sustained wholeness for the future. Lord, in your mercy.
Reassuring God, we remember those who have died and rest in you, especially the departed faithful of First Lutheran, and those we lift now either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We thank you for their lives of faith and pray that we may learn from their witness. Lord, in your mercy.
Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace. Huh?
Pray with me. Creator God, you made the whole world, even the farthest stars, and you draw near to feed us. We praise you for these gifts of bread and wine. Strengthen us with this food, that we may live in expectation for the advent of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed our right, our duty, and our joy that we should all, at all times and at all places, give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to all your people. Blessed are you for the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Who is worthy of this meal?
None.
Good answer. Who deserves this meal? None. But take heart, because we have been prepared for this meal by the one we receive in it. Everyone, therefore, must be welcome at this table. Everyone, therefore, is welcome at this table. So come, eat, and be restored. Oops. There you go. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. You can keep playing that. That was nice. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy, for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we feed the hungry in your name. Amen.
Amen. A few quick announcements this morning. Let's see. Catechism. Yeah, after worship. Let's see. We also continue our Advent services this Wednesday. You can catch up on our first Advent service, or at least the reflection that is on Facebook, or you can see it in your newsletter. And then you can join us this Wednesday at 7 p.m., where we will continue reflecting on the book of Revelation. It's really exciting. So, and it's a nice little service. I think you'll enjoy it. So come if you don't have anything better to do on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Let's see. We, due to some unforeseen circumstances, the Hope team and me have decided to delay our Christmas potluck. It was supposed to be next Sunday, and we will move that until January. We might have to come up with a new name for it, so we are accepting names at the moment. And we're sorry for this late change, but that will not be happening next Sunday. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none. Please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
it's not on the wall, but all you have to do is when I point to you, you say, "We will, thanks be to God." Do we need to practice or we got it? Okay, I think you got it. All right. By God's tender mercy, the dawn from on high will break upon us. I didn't point. We needed to practice, didn't we? All right, we're going to start over. Kevin, you have the A's. By God's tender mercy, the dawn from on high will break upon us.
Light will shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death.
And our feet will be shown the way of peace. Go, proclaim the good news of Christ's coming.
We will.